Recently, Graham Hancock, a journalist, released a documentary on Netflix titled Ancient Apocalypse. You may recognise him from his YouTube appearances with Joe Rogan on his podcast, for example, this one here, where he's talking with Randall Carlson, who is an amateur geologist. And I've seen pretty much all of his Joe Rogan podcast appearances. I've watched the full documentary now, and I've read one of his books titled Magicians of the Gods. So I know that he's previously worked for The Times, The Independent, The Guardian, The Economist, and co-edited The New Internationalist. So he's a, you could say he's an establishment figure in a sort of unusual sort of way, I suppose, in that, you know, he's an established journalist at the very least.
He's not easy to put in a political box. He'll just write for any publication because he's just got interesting topics on his mind.
I think that that's the best interpretation of it, yes. So what does he actually believe, and what is this documentary actually putting forward? So there is a document here. This is from the Society for American Archaeology, and this is an article talking about one of his books in 2019, and it provides a summary of his beliefs that I think is quite useful, because if we move on to the next link, Graham Hancock himself, on his website, says that this is probably one of the best accounts of my beliefs from someone other than myself. And I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to read what Hancock actually says about it. So people don't accuse me of misrepresenting his beliefs, because I know he's got some very ardent followers that might say, oh, you've got this very minute detail wrong.
Yeah, for full clarification as well, I haven't seen the series yet, so if I come across somewhat dumb in me being inquisitive, forgive me.
So, and I'm quoting from the archaeology publication. So, attempting to critique America Before, which is the book, The Key to Earth's Lost Civilization by Graham Hancock, using the criteria of professional archaeology, is doomed to failure as his goals are outside of the materialist practice of scientific archaeology. In a nutshell, Hancock argues that an ancient civilization of the Pleistocene, which to you and me means sort of the end of the last ice age, emerged in North America that was based not on material technology, but on psychic and spiritual knowledge. It became a global sea-based society comparable with the late pre-industrial British Empire. These Ice Age Americans, spoiler, Atlanteans, foresaw a cosmic disaster and spread mimetic seeds of sacred knowledge of geometry, astronomy, and the other world, and how souls may navigate it around the world. After this civilization was destroyed by impact events from a comet during the Younger Dryas, these advanced people came to be remembered as magicians and gods. Seeking this knowledge today is a path to truly understanding reality and spiritual elements denied by materialist science.
Right. So a giant meteor impacted and turned some of South America into Atlantis. That's literally the plot.
I think it's meant to be North America.
Yeah. Oh, North America. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's literally the plot for Wakanda Forever. Like, the meteor lands down, vibranium gets everywhere, and not only did the Africans get it and build a spacefaring civilization, but the bunch of Latin Americans, when the conquistadors arrive, go into the sea and build a really amazing civilization. So, I actually think Wakanda Forever might have been co-written by Graham Hancock.
Don't slander the man like that. Come on. So, he says here, Card's precis of my argument is fair, and in general, I'd say his analysis of my work and its function is much more carefully thought through than any of the other contributors. For them, as for Wikipedia, I might add, it seems to be enough to simply describe me as a pseudo-scientist or a pseudo-archaeologist in order, without making any further effort to damn to perdition everything I have ever written.
So he's admitting that he's a bit more speculative and out there. Mm-hmm. And that hopefully might hope to push the Overton window for archaeological inquiry. But he also says, yeah, sure, I might sound a bit kooky. I just think I'm probably right.
He's very upfront about how he's perceived. Like in the documentary itself, he's just like, yeah, mainstream archaeology doesn't agree with me and they've called me a pseudoscientist. He says that within like the first 10 minutes or so of the documentary.
And people are angry at him. Why?
Well, we'll be getting onto that. Okay. I mean, it's worth mentioning as well that I personally don't believe that he presented enough evidence to convince me of his argument.
No.
There are elements of his argument which I did find possible and I was willing to entertain. So the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis that a comet struck North America's ice sheet at the end of the last ice age, which caused massive flooding, destruction and rapid environmental change. I mean, I'm willing to entertain that. Mm. We also know that at this time there was rapid sea level rise, swallowing up massive portions of land. And this would be a traumatic event to live through as a human being and would explain a lot of the commonalities between all of the different cultural flood myths.
Yes.
So yeah. I'm
Noah,
willing to...
There's ones in the Native mm-hmm. Americans with the Quinault tribe, things like that. Mm-hmm.
I'm also willing to entertain the idea that humans are perhaps more advanced than we might currently think based on the paleoanthropological evidence, because... Right. Anatomical humans have existed for, at the very least, 233,000 years, based on what we found of skull fragments and things of that nature, which I'll get onto in a second. But I did enjoy the documentary. It's worth saying that it was entertaining. I think it was well made, although it had some elements of melodrama to it in a way in which lots of American documentaries do, whereby they're all trying to be really dramatic and trying to shock you. And I kind of enjoy the more laid back sort of David Attenborough style, where it's just quite calm, serene, just telling you the information. They're not necessarily trying to jump scare you with really loud, dramatic music mm. when you're trying to relax. But my favorite part of it was showcasing the actual archaeological sites, some of which I wasn't even aware existed. So that was really interesting. Although I didn't necessarily always agree with his interpretation of them, I found some of his interpretations of how they were used quite compelling, and particularly his idea that lots of primitive structures, lots of early structures is a better word for it, were used to measure the stars, which I think is actually quite important for them, and would also validate the comet view. But yes, his interpretation is interesting and sometimes compelling, but I think should be taken with a pinch of salt, because I don't necessarily believe there's enough evidence to make some of the claims that he's making. But on the topic of human history, I did a two-part series in my contemplation series looking at the origin of humanity. And here I go through millions of years of human evolution and talk about what led up to modern anatomical humans. So this is a bit before anything that Hancock is speculating about, but... certainly worth a watch, because it's something that not very many people know about, but I think it's really, really important to understand how we used to live, because it informs how we are instinctually programmed today. And if you want to understand yourself, I think understanding your history is a great way of doing it. So on to a tweet that Graham Hancock himself put out, saying, "Archaeologists and their friends in the media are spitting nails about my Ancient Apocalypse series on Netflix and want me cancelled." And this is where I'm more than happy to defend Graham Hancock, because I think that people are unfairly slandering him, because these ideas should be entertained even if I don't agree with them. I think that's what we want in a civil society, isn't it? That ideas that aren't necessarily conventional or accepted by the mainstream can be entertained and passed around, because you never know, they could be right.
Yeah, if you want to interrogate and repudiate them, that's completely fine. Mm-hmm. But then to gatekeep them out of being put into the public sphere in the first place means mm-hmm. that you may be missing out on a key element of truth that may even benefit you. For example, my grandparents, they go to Egypt for quite a few months of the year, mm-hmm. and they go and stay in the rural parts, and they go through the desert on camels, and they've stumbled across a few tombs and things like that before. And one of their friends, they're Swedish archaeologists, they're married. And the woman put forth one of her doctoral theses about a female pharaoh that no one else had identified. Mm-hmm. And she was interrogated endlessly by the university board. And then eventually it came up that she was correct. She was just the first person that had put all the pieces together. So there's an actual female pharaoh that nobody had thought about before. And the university orthodoxy was ready to throw her out on her ear and discredit her mm-hmm. entire career. Just turns out that sometimes you need someone that sees the world from a slightly different perspective to look at the mm-hmm. evidence, and you find something that nobody else has discovered before.
I know that the field of archaeology and paleoanthropology are actually really exciting fields to follow because there are always new developments. There's always something new that we found out, just like, oh, we know more about this thing now.
Yeah,
the problem is actually quite a fruitful thing for inquiry.
Been ideologically polluted in recent years with, for example, the claim of female or trans Vikings.
Oh, that's just ridiculous, like, yeah.
Just stop. Just stop.
So one of the most egregious articles that he's listed here is this one, which is MSN sharing an article published by Wales Online, of all places, titled Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse Netflix series promotes racist conspiracy theories, claim archaeologists.
White supremacy?
Yes.
What?
I know. So
I'm sick of the American contamination of our language.
This is also a professor from Cardiff University.
Oh, right. Funded by the taxpayer. Brilliant.
Yes. So I'm going to read from this article because it is quite absurd. Hit Netflix documentary Ancient Apocalypse promotes white supremacy and racist conspiracy theories. Archaeologists, including a research fellow at Cardiff University, are claiming, I'm pretty sure it's just that guy, right?
Yeah.
However, an independent researcher and author has said such claims are fueled by jealousy and that bringing in woke argument is nothing short of desperate on the part of academia, which, to be fair, he kind of has a point. Mm. If you can't debate him on his arguments and you start calling him politically contentious names, well, that kind of grants Hancock his argument that academia is not taking it seriously and acting snobbishly and elitistly, if that's a word,
it's just
towards him.
It's character assassination to try and put yourself in a place in the academic and moral hierarchy above him without ever actually having to put in any work yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you're just hoping you can get the same Netflix budget just by being utterly mediocre.
Mm. So it carries on to say, in a huge 40-tweet thread that has been retweeted by many fellow archaeologists and scientists, Dr. Flint Dibble from Cardiff University's School of History.
That's a name and a half,
I
isn't
know.
It?
I mean, it's quite a fitting name for an archaeologist, isn't it, Flint? Archaeology and Religion says, in his new Netflix documentary, Ancient Apocalypse, Graham Hancock has declared war on archaeologists. His rhetoric sows distrust in experts, and Atlantis conspiracy theories promote white supremacy.
What?
Yeah, we'll be getting onto that. Dr. Dibble told Wales Online that explaining how Mr. Hancock's Atlantis conspiracy theories promote white supremacy would take a long essay, but he provided links to various articles on the topic and his own previous Twitter thread on the subject. In one of these articles, titled Did Aliens Build the Pyramids and Other Racist Theories?
So they're saying basically the Egyptians, by implying the aliens, Book of Enoch style, could have come down and built the pyramids, you're implying the Egyptians were too stupid to build these structures because they're brown. Okay.
I mean, never mind by implication that there aren't many of these mega structures from that sort of time in Europe.
Yeah.
So how you'd have to be quite the hypocrite to believe that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Stephanie Helmholfer writes, pseudo-archaeological arguments may seem to be simply fun to entertain, but they are invariably heavily biased against black people, indigenous peoples, and other people of colour, BIPOC, who are doubted to have been responsible for their own histories. I mean, isn't there also a movement that says, you know, loads of prominent white figures and European figures are actually secretly black?
Yeah, the black Hebrew Israelite position.
Yeah. I don't see many people clamouring to call them out. Pseudo-archaeology is useful to white nationalism specifically because it casts doubt on the achievements of BIPOC communities, opening the doors to rewriting history through a white power lens.
Right, yes. Now let me tell you more about how Black Panther is empowering.
The thing is, at no point in Hancock's documentary does he mention race once.
No.
Okay. It doesn't even come into it. And the article carries on to say, however, indigenous Native Americans and Mesoamerican history traditions, like many others around the globe, do say they were taught the arts of civilization by mysterious others or gods, and tell of cataclysmic floods and other natural disasters that wiped out their predecessors.
So that's the entire argument, is that their others or gods were actually aliens, and that's just our human understanding of them.
Well, that's not his argument. That's not
Hancock's. But that's the general argument of what that could be if you said, aliens sent from the sky and taught the Incans or the Egyptians to build pyramids.
I think the concept of aliens is a bit anachronistic for that far in the past. They didn't.
I don't hold that perspective. I'm merely
okay.
Explaining what they think.
And it carries on to say, nevertheless, Professor John Hoops, a specialist in the archaeology of South Central America and North South America at Kansas University's Department of Anthropology, is largely dismissive of these traditions. And he says the pseudo-archaeology and Mr. Hancock's theories align and reinforce white supremacist dogma, despite race not being mentioned in the Netflix documentary. They say it in the article.
Yes.
Yes, he's reinforcing white supremacy, but he doesn't mention race once. Ooh.
Yeah, socialism is the doctrine of envy, as per usual.
Professor Hoops told Wales Online, the discussion of race in Ancient Apocalypse is conspicuous by its absence. Hancock does not need to identify the individuals in the myths he describes as white because most of his audience already knows it. Do they? I didn't know that.
This is
what permits him to conceal what archaeologists recognise as the implicit racism in his theory.
This is the horseshoe theory of the white nationalists who go into every YouTube comment section and go, name them. We know who you're talking about, even if you're not naming them. It's like, what? No. No, silence is not violence. I'm not secretly covering up a group of people that I think are behind everything. I'm just presenting my argument, you're projecting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Professor Hoop said the myth of Quetzalcoatl, a great cultural hero of Mesoamerican civilization, is a heavily bearded white man who arrived by sea from the east, was a story created by Spaniards after their initial conquest of Mexico.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I don't know enough about that, but I imagine there are probably people that contend that interpretation.
But, okay, so what? Quetzalcoatl was, if he was mentioned in the documentary, which you've seen, I haven't, Hancock didn't mention race at all.
He didn't, no.
So thank you for your non sequitur, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And the final thing that I'm going to read from this is, and he said that the most likely explanation for Native American history, traditions and folklore tales featuring a cultural transformer hero, who taught the arts of civilization and someone in the present, and I'm quoting directly here, someone in the present is seeking to elevate their status and they embellish or invent these culture bringers so they can claim descent from them and thereby justify a privileged status, which is a very progressive interpretation of mythology, really. So let's have a look at one of the contributors to this, Flint Dibble. Let's have a look at his Twitter and do a quick leftist check.
I've done
pronouns,
this
with... he, him, a link to his Mastodon.
Right, so okay.
Which, I think he has a political incentive which is to hilarious elevate.
As well, because all the leftists jumping to Mastodon. Mastodon's a federated system, so if there is any Nazism on the servers, they can't remove it. So if anything, it's less moderated than Twitter, you utter clowns.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at this thread that the article's citing, if you scroll down a little bit, John, and look at some of the pictures, if you go a bit further, he posts things like GIFs,
Anderson, is that
just
Anderson
making
Cooper?
Fun of him. Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't strike me as professional.
No.
This strikes me as someone
petulant.
Who's... Yeah, it's like school playground level stuff of just making fun of him. Like he's saying that he's making fun of the fact that Graham Hancock says he's persecuted by archaeologists. And then he goes on to write a 40-thread thing, basically ad hominem him. And yeah, it's ridiculous. But if we move on to the next link, here we have The Guardian saying Ancient Apocalypse is the most dangerous show on Netflix, which of course ignores the fact that Cuties, that French film sexualizing 11-year-old girls, is on Netflix.
And Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if we move on to this next one, someone, I think a journalist, points out the fact that The Guardian has called Ancient Apocalypse the most dangerous show on Netflix, yet it rated Cuties, a movie that is essentially child pornography, three stars and called it bold and misunderstood.
Oh, that's Samantha Smith. So the added context for this is Samantha Smith was a victim of the Telford grooming gangs. So she's very qualified to talk about childhood exploitation. So that really underscores
that's
the point.
That's quite a takedown then, isn't it?
Yes.
More so than I thought.
Damning indictment.
Mm-hmm. So yes, that's pretty horrendous. So if we have a quick look at other headlines, the mainstream media has really taken to dragging him through the coals. Here's one from The Times. Fishy Netflix Atlanta show needs a big pinch of salt, say archaeologists.
Given he wrote for these outlets as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very backstabbing.
Moving on to The Sun. Wild Atlantis theory, an advanced civilization was wiped out 12,000 years ago, peddled in Netflix doc Ancient Apocalypse.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure. If it's a bit kooky, why are you so upset about it?
Mm-hmm. And then the conversation with Netflix Ancient Apocalypse, Graham Hancock has declared war on archaeologists.
Oh, come
that
on.
Again. And then we move on to Slate, the ancient absurdities of Ancient Apocalypse. And then finally, we go to this article from an outlet I
boing,
don't...
Boing.
Yeah, but it was just a particularly egregious headline. Archaeologists reveal the white supremacist nonsense behind Netflix Ancient Apocalypse. Doesn't mention race once.
Yeah.
But it, no, it's white supremacist.
Even if his theories are mad and wrong, that's fine mm-hmm. to point them out and do mm-hmm. a reasoned evidence takedown, but then crying hysterically out mm-hmm. of it just makes him look like a, mm-hmm. far more credible than perhaps his theories mm-hmm. actually are.
I found an archaeologist reacting to it as well, another one. Say this is someone called Lauren. I'm not going to say a full name. If you have any respect for the work me and my colleagues do, do not watch Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix. It appears to be pseudo-archaeological and ego rolled together. Excuse me. The theories are soundly disproven by contemporary science, and the worldview is one of white supremacy.
Right.
I don't think it is. I think it's also worth mentioning that it's not necessarily been disproven. It's just that there's insufficient evidence to make the claims in the first place. To say it's disproven is to say that you've already got the facts when in reality, I think it's more that we just don't know.
Isn't it really difficult to be a white supremacist in archaeology, considering you have to go to a bunch of different dig sites around the world and uncover really fascinating mm-hmm. artifacts from various civilizations?
It's almost like you built into it. You have to have a respect for other people's cultures.
Yeah, you're basically finding the threads which weave together a common humanity.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to say. Yeah, but all of the whites, which wasn't even a concept that existed in the ancient world in the bloody first place, are superior.
It's nonsense. However, you'd be surprised to see that Jack Dorsey said it was great.
There we go.
This
is
the former founder and owner of Twitter.
Yeah, Jack is...
The
I don't
Elon
think
Times.
Jack was as sincerely leftist as the dragon he rode. He was a liar to protect his company, but I think he was more cowardly than an ideologue.
Mm-hmm. And finally, it seems to have done really well. Here it is, both on the US and the UK list, being second only to The Crown, which, I mean...
Is far more fictitious.
I've not seen it. I have no interest in sticking my nose into the private affairs of the royals.
My missus loves it, and my mum, and even they admit, yeah, it's a load of bollocks, it's made up, but it's
also
good melodrama.
Voyeuristic, isn't it? I don't want to stick my nose into other people's private affairs. It's their business.
Quite literally private affairs.
Well, yes,
season.
Of course. But yes, it seems to have done very well. No matter what you think of it, it's good to see that something from the outside of the mainstream can actually succeed on a mainstream platform.
Mm.
So that's good, regardless of what you might think of the documentary itself. But to summarise, I think there are lots of interesting questions that this case raises. For example, I think that putting formal qualifications on a pedestal, particularly university qualifications, is not a good idea.
Mm.
I mean, I have a master's degree in psychology, but I think that normal people should have an opinion that should be just as valid as my own. It should be assessed based on the evidence for their arguments, not how much time and money they've spent at a university.
I was going to say, if you wanted to disillusion yourself with academic credentials, do what I did for my English professors, the same as you did with that archaeologist Twitter account, and just find your professor's social media and have a scroll. And for all the times they want to retweet AOC comparing US to concentration camps and then defend the Soviet Union, you will suddenly realize that a lot of academic credentials are basically bunk.
Yes. They also don't have a monopoly on truth.
Yes.
You know, they're people just like you and me. I mean, I suppose we've both got pretty good academic qualifications. But never mind. We're not conflicted here. I am also sympathetic to his scorn of the mainstream and his distaste for patronising so-called experts. And I'm quoting him directly there, in that I think that society as a whole has put too much stock in experts knowing what they're talking about. I think that a healthy level of scepticism to everyone is probably warranted.
Yeah, do not defer judgment to others.
Mm-hmm. I also think that respect for individuals' ideas, particularly the individuals themselves, should be dished out based on the quantity and quality of time spent researching the topic. So if someone's dedicated their life to researching something, you should give them more respect than someone who's just started purely based on the fact that they've put a lot of time and effort into it. So you could be someone who's like an amateur archaeologist who's spent 30 years doing it, for example, or someone who's just qualified. And I think the person who's done it for longer is the one more deserving of respect.
Well, I think the one who isn't banging on about an ideological goal like advancing racial equity is probably the more trustworthy voice, even if his theories are kooky.
And although I don't necessarily believe ultimately in the theory he's trying to push, I find it interesting. I think it's important for people to entertain other theories because they could be right. I mean, you never know. I could be provided with more evidence and say, actually, yeah, he was right. I mean, I like to keep an open mind, but at the same time, I don't like to be convinced of things that I don't believe to be true. But we as a society should have that sort of attitude, and I think it's very healthy to have. Don't become overly invested in any one theory. Have an open mind, look at the evidence, and you should hopefully come to a more informed conclusion. That's all there is to it. But I hope that that was an interesting look at it. I hope there aren't too many fans of Hancock angry at me. I think I was quite charitable towards him, considering, you know, I can't help the fact that I don't believe what he says, not thinking that he's being dishonest, of course.
But he should have every right to say it.
Absolutely. I very much support his right to make this documentary, and I don't support the criticism levelled against him, even if I don't necessarily think that there's sufficient evidence to make the claims that he's making. So all the best to him, and hopefully academia opens up a bit more, because at the minute, it's not looking great, is it?
Wouldn't hold my breath on that one, mate.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium podcast we do, this one on debate might as well be dead because of Calvin Robinson's interactions. And if you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.